When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
On today's episode, we get down for some floor lovin', the tale of the six-year-old femme fatale, and what to do when bros versus hoes grows up. All that and more on today's episode of Bad Advice with Lori Beth Denberg.
Help me out, my Lori Beth Denberg. Give me the vital information so I get the red dots. Who do you? The church of Lori Beth is in session, and we're reading from the scriptures of vital information. Talk to my goddess and my savior. LBT, just tell me what's going on with me. Oh my God, send my savior, my LBT. Just tell me what's going on with me.
Hello, dear listeners. This is Lori Beth Denberg, and welcome to the Bad Advice Podcast. Woo. With me, as always, is Clark Crozer.
Hello.
And Bags the dog just stood up because while we were listening to the theme song, I was cringe crunching his ears. And apparently that wasn't enough. So he's now got his face and
big,
snout.
Big, meaty head.
Right on my leg, and I'm still cringe crunching his ears. Good boy.
He's got a big blockhead.
Good boy.
Yep. How are you?
Oh, Clark.
What's going on?
You know what's funny is while this, I've had a rough morning.
Okay.
But, and I wanted to like tell you about it. I'm like, I'll tell you when we're recording.
Yeah, yeah.
But I feel like I run the risk. Remember Michael with his super drag of a friend?
Yes.
I'm like, I don't want to be Michael's friend. But, you know, I don't do this all the time. I just have had one of those mornings and afternoons where just nothing can go right, from the big to the small.
The full Charlie Brown.
Yeah, I had to do this tax thing online. It didn't like my address. I changed it every which way. The form didn't make sense. I'm anxious about that shit anyway.
Yeah.
And finally, I got it done. But so there was that stuff. There was like, oh, I'm leaving. I forgot my phone. There was, you know, I couldn't just do one thing straight through.
Right.
You know, I went to go get something to eat. I'm already just kind of tensed
anxious
up.
Anxious and tense.
You know, and I go in and the people at the front counter are on the phone. Don't even acknowledge me. This is what I thought of Michael's friend, because he was like, when the overworked wait staff doesn't acknowledge him, he takes it personally.
Yes.
But like these fucking people who are working really hard, and I
appreciate
them.
Yeah, of course.
Like they were both on the phone for minutes.
Ooh.
And didn't even acknowledge, like, hold on. Because I'm always like, of course, take your time.
Right.
But I was just really hungry and really just like nothing had gone right.
Ugh.
I was trying to post something on Instagram for the listeners, for the podcast.
Oh, nice, nice.
I had no signal. I'm like, forget it. I'll just go in and eat. And then even after the chickie got off the phone, she just starts talking to her coworker. Like, it was just like, at least acknowledge me.
Right.
Please, I just need some acknowledgement. You know, just every little, I couldn't, there's this problem in the parking lot, just where every single thing. And part of that, I think, is that I'm amped up. I'm anxious about some stuff.
Yeah.
I like doing tax stuff.
Right.
It's not my forte.
Yeah.
You know, so then I'm kind of doing things in a staccato, faster.
Right,
you know?
Right.
We've all seen that poster. If you don't have time to do something right, you must have time to do it again. It's like the most judgy. There's like, hang in there, baby.
Right.
And is it Friday yet?
Right.
And, well, you fucking suck.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Now you can suck twice. But, so I'm kind of glad to be here.
Good.
Hopefully this won't go crazy.
Seriously, I hope you're not going to
blow up as we're answering questions.
No, and it's just been those little things that I just feel like I'm tripping over everything. I have to go back and do everything again because I forgot, you know, whatever.
Actually, the first question is from your tax accountant. No, I'm just kidding.
Giving me sensitive information that we read over the air. Exactly. Hey, babies, anyone who wants to steal my identity, good luck. Good luck.
Now, there's some bad advice.
I know. Oh, my God. And then we have to go to, like, court about it. And I just have to show vital information to prove, like, they say it's my name.
I love that you're using old skits as evidence in your trials.
Well, I think I talked about this on the air before, but there are two times in my life that I have used IMDb, Internet Movie Database.
Yes.
Tried to use it as ID.
Oh, no.
Both times it pretty much worked.
Wow.
But I swear we talked about this, but I don't know. I was officiating a wedding in Palm Springs.
Okay.
And we get this knock on the door after, you know, we're there Friday night.
Okay.
And we do the rehearsal dinner stuff. I was with my friend Rachel. Nice. She got to come and
nice.
And then it's Saturday. We've gone out to breakfast. We're back in the room. We're totally naked. Just like, you know, maybe panties, because we're like, I'm finishing up the last changes to the ceremony on my computator. She's laying. We're being cold. We're about to start getting ready
to go to a wedding.
Do the wedding.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And this knock on the door, knock, knock, knock. It's like, hello, who is it? Security. I was like, okay, well, I'll put on some clothes for this.
All right.
And he's like, you were supposed to check out. Like, they only had us in the room for that one night.
What?
And I'm like, we're just about to, like, get ready for this wedding. Like, this is a mistake.
Yeah.
He's like, well, you have to come with us to the, I mean, not like come with us downtown.
Right.
Like, we can go figure this out maybe in the lobby.
Right.
But it was a big resorty kind of thing. So it was quite a little walk.
Huh.
And we get there. I don't think I'm wearing a bra.
Oh, no.
I mean, I normally am not, but I put one on for the wedding. But they're like, no, we just have you checking out. They're like, can I see your ID? And I'm like, it's in the fucking room.
Yeah.
I didn't say that. Of course, I was polite.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm like, it's in the room. Oh, I didn't bring anything.
Yeah.
So then I have my phone.
Okay.
And I look up my IMDb.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, I don't want to do this, but, and I'm like, look, it's me, my birth date, my whatever.
Yeah.
And they were like, I don't know. Even one guy there was like, yeah, I know who you are. I just can't.
Wow.
You know, and so I think we just had to call the groom.
Okay.
Which, if there's anything you want to do, is call the groom three hours before the wedding.
Yeah, exactly.
And say, can you fix my hotel room?
Right. We need more money over here.
Probably the bride might have handled it anyway, and she's even deeper into getting ready.
Right.
So that one didn't really work, but it worked out. And the other one was, I was in doing a trivia thing in a San Diego bar.
Oh, nice.
I don't drink.
As you do.
As one does.
Yeah.
And I don't drink, so it's not like I wanted to drink, but you had to be 21 or over to be here in the first place.
Sure.
And I had left my wallet unintentionally at a gas station an hour away.
Oh, no.
And this was the first thing that really posed a problem.
Yeah.
Because, like, everywhere else, like, I didn't have to be 21 to go to the beach.
Right.
But although you should, children at the beach are a nuisance.
Wow.
No, they're fine. I don't want to get political.
Yeah.
But no, they're fine. So I'm like, I don't know what to do. So I pull up my IMDb then.
Wow.
And then I show it to the girl, and she's like, well, let me go show it to my boss.
Wow.
And she's like, yeah, it's okay. It's pretty good evidence.
Nice.
And it was just like, and then I'm like, can I have a Diet Coke? You know, so it wasn't really, you know, there was no like
need
risk
for
to
yeah,
them.
Exactly.
But,
yeah.
You know, you just have to be 21 anyway.
Yeah.
How did I get started on that?
We were talking about bad days, and then we started talking about.
The IRS thing wouldn't let me put in my address.
Oh, right. Yeah.
No, that was some. I've lost. Usually I'm pretty good at keeping the thread. But today, let me tell you.
Yeah, it's been that kind of a day.
Nothing's working. Yeah, just where I'm like tripping over my own feet to try to get anything, you know.
Yeah.
It's just anyway. So, but I am glad to be here where I can perhaps focus on someone else's problem.
Right. Yeah, exactly. But we also we're getting closer and closer to Halloween.
Yes, we are.
I was hoping that maybe some of our listeners out there, maybe you can start sending in some Halloween-y spooky questions.
That would be really good.
And you know what? Even if we can't get to them on Halloween, we'll have a spooky November.
We
can have a very spooky Thanksgiving.
People die horribly and stay around as spirits in November.
I mean, we can go all the way to Christmas.
I mean, there's a Christmas lot of drunk driving.
Yeah, totally.
A lot of people die on Halloween. Are we not supposed to address that in November? God, I hope a lot of people die on Halloween.
Not really. But yeah, so we're getting close. So if you guys have any questions out there, if you need any opinions on what you should be for Halloween,
yeah,
send us your ideas. We'll give you the go. We'll give you the go ahead.
We'll give you the bad advice.
The bad advice for your be horrible Halloween costume. All right. But before we go too far on that, I think we should head over to answer some questions because we have some fans that need help right now.
Okay.
And the first one is actually a little bit of an interesting one because it's not really one person that wrote me this question. It's two.
Oh.
Yeah, this is an odd one. So we're going to start here with a gentleman named Matt, right? And Matt says, "Hey, LB and Clark. My coworker, Stacy, regaled me with the most unusual story about her first grade daughter. And I really wanted, she really wanted some parenting tips. My good advice to her was to get some bad advice from you." So here's Stacy. All right. So now.
Okay.
This is referring.
He's like introducing
Introducing Stacy to us.
Okay.
Through email, which is odd. And then in the same email, Stacy writes now,
okay.
"Hi, Lori, Beth, and Clark. My six-year-old daughter, Abby, was very upset the other day when I picked her up from school. As a gesture of comfort, she had given her favorite scrunchie to her best friend, who was feeling sad. But now the friend was refusing to give it back. When I asked her friend, why her friend was upset, Abby said it was because she'd broken up with her boyfriend. They're 6 years old. I told her they're too young to have boyfriends at that age, to which Abby replied, 'I know, that's why I broke them up.' And, and I then found out that the little boy at play here has had a crush all along on Abby and that he's actually interested in her. So there's a lot going on here. For one thing, it's nice to comfort a sad friend, but first she gave up something she loved that I bought for her, and then she wanted it back. And six-year-olds worried about boyfriends? I'm not ready for this. To cap it all off, Abby broke them up? How did that even happen? And now this boy has his eye on Abby. I feel like she's attending Melrose Place Elementary. Help. I need some bad advice on all kinds of issues here. Stacy."
Stacy, that's funny because Clark, as you were reading it, I was like, this sounds like mini Melrose Place.
Yeah, right.
That's exactly what she said.
Exactly.
All right. There's a lot to unpack. Yeah. Let's go back to Matt.
Yes, we're starting with Matt.
What I like about this is Stacy needed help.
Yeah.
Matt stepped in.
Yeah.
It's like Stacy was too shy to write me herself. Right. He just got her started. Right. It's a really good lesson in being a good, helpful friend and asking for help.
Exactly. So very true.
That's very cute.
I don't know why Matt couldn't have just given her our email address and she could have written us herself.
Then we wouldn't have had this excellent example of friendship.
That's true.
Just like the excellent example of friendship of Stacy, your daughter, Abby, giving her best friend the scrunchie because she felt sad.
Yep.
So let's just take that for first.
All right. We're starting there.
For firstis. If it's really the issue of getting the scrunchie back, which it is.
Yeah.
All the other weird dynamic of relationships and whatever.
We'll get to that part.
But you know, the thing to do just with that is call the other girl's mom, have them not to say, hey, give me back my girl scrunchie, blah, blah, blah. Just to say, you know, the girls are having like this quarrel and we need the scrunchie back. It's very special. So maybe we could get the girls together to talk about it, you know, with some guidance.
Sure.
Because it's important for kids to work out their own stuff.
Yeah.
To learn about, you know, compromise and negotiation and understanding the other person and apologizing.
Right.
You know, that's the whole beginning of people's lives. Like, say you're sorry and you go, I'm sorry, but you don't know, you know, like a kid doesn't know what it means.
Right.
They just know it's kind of a punishment for doing something shitty.
Exactly.
And you have to say, I'm sorry. You have to say Candyman 3 times in the mirror.
Exactly.
But, you know, it's as nonsensical as that until you can really understand sympathy and empathy, which are difficult concepts.
Yeah, when you're sick.
But also,
especially.
I think maybe Abby's friend is owed an apology if Abby tore through their relationship. Did she, like, get another woman involved? Did she leave another girl's, like, graham crackers on the boyfriend's nap mat?
Did he have crayon marks on his collar?
Exactly. I don't have a ruby red, Timmy. Whose ruby red is this? I don't know. I'm 6.
That's why I broke them up. That's my favorite part.
But yeah, that's why she broke
them
up.
That's why I broke them up.
But the interesting thing, and this extrapolates out to a lot, is the boyfriend-girlfriend thing.
Mm.
That is all we take in media, any show, any movie, even, you know, even kids' movies where there's like, you know, take The Incredibles.
Yeah.
There's the mom and the dad and they're having problems and they get back together and they kiss and they
right.
work it out. So there's this dynamic of the, I mean, for the most part, this male, female, boyfriend,
romantic.
Girlfriend. Yeah, whatever it is. And there's lots, luckily or whateverly, you know, there's more depictions of same sex or all that different stuff.
Yeah.
But all that stuff.
All the stuff.
All the sinners out there. I know, can you imagine? But so those concepts of partnership or kissing or whatever, those are already in their brains.
Sure.
They don't know, hopefully, anything else.
Yeah, exactly.
And so having the issue, like sitting them down and saying, you know, well, you know, you shouldn't have a boyfriend.
Right.
It's like, well, why?
Yeah.
Well, because then you might have sex. What? What's that? Like, you know, it's the same thing as when somebody protests, you know, this show is disgusting, says the million Christian moms.
Yeah.
And then the show is like, thanks, man. Nobody was really watching us before.
Exactly.
But I'll take this. I'll take the information that you're giving about me to everyone.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so it's kind of like, it's cute. It's boyfriend, girlfriend. I mean, apparently, though, it's turned into some wretched soap opera.
Yeah, drama fueled friendship.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm impressed with Abby or scared of her.
I'm impressed. I think it's impressive that, first of all, she completely understands that being 6 years old is too young to have boyfriends.
Uh-huh.
Right? So then that is the reasoning, the rationale in her 6-year-old brain as to why she needs to break these two up. That's why I broke them up. She understood that part and was like, this is too much. Like, I wanted to be there for that conversation where the three of them were at the playground and it was just like, now listen here, Jimmy.
Yes.
You can't be her boyfriend because you're 6 years old.
I know. You guys, listen, you know, you're young. You have your whole lives ahead of you. I don't want to see you not go to coloring group A. Because you want to stay back in coloring group B with this guy? For a guy, you're going to not go to coloring group A? Then I'm picturing Abby like on the top of the slide, standing like with binoculars, like a sniper, looking out at the whole playground.
Right.
What needs attention today?
Exactly. She's walking over somebody's shoulder. She sees them on the phone. Like, that's inappropriate to watch at 6 years old.
She takes a screenshot. You'll never guess who he was texting. He told Cindy that Leonardo was his favorite Ninja Turtle. I don't think that's what he told you. So all of that, I mean, the fact, Stacey, that your daughter seems oddly savvy.
Yeah.
That's on you. Maybe you need to have a talk with her.
No, be proud. I think that's a good thing.
But the ins and outs of like little kids having a boyfriend or a girlfriend, you know, that's always, and that's like been forever. It's right. Like, well, we got married when we were six at the fair. You know, like right. I've heard that from plenty of people. It usually doesn't last. Things like that break up after second grade.
At 6 years old, who knows whether this is a consensual relationship? Little Jimmy might not know what the hell's going on with anything.
Yeah, he's like, I just like to think it's like an abusive relationship where she's like, you're my boyfriend. And he's like, okay. She's really nice to me when we're alone. When we're really alone. But so I wouldn't stress too much about the boyfriend girl. I mean, it's funny. It's cute.
Yeah.
It's, you know, and don't go, if you go into it, you just get into this whole other mess of details that you really don't want to. I mean, people do get, like, have the talk and teach their kids about sex and different stuff at all different ages.
Sure.
When you're little like that, it's usually like, this is a penis that boys have, and this is a vagina. And when you're, you know, like the right words for things.
Right.
And, so, but other than that, you know, you're not getting into a deep, like, you know, hey, Abby's friend, Cindy, just, you know, you don't want to get pregnant.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't want to waste your life on this guy. He can't even count past 10.
Exactly.
So, you know, that stuff is funny and goofy
and harmless.
Yeah. And harmless.
Ultimately.
Yeah, exactly. Unless you cross Abby's path. Then you get taken down with a tranquilizer dart. You wake up somewhere else with just, you know, tied with Play-Doh string. She like, what's it called? Unbrainwashes you.
Yeah, exactly. She deprograms you.
Deprograms, that's what it is. But talk to the other chickie's mom.
Yeah. Oh, what about, let me throw this out.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't even have to talk to the other mom. Maybe when next time the girl comes over, the friend comes over, maybe you make a specific like, oh, we need to get that scrunchie back because I want to get you like special best friend scrunchies.
Yeah.
And then you go to Claire's boutique and you buy two new scrunchies for $3.
Yeah.
And then that's their special, you know, best friend scrunchies, and she can give the other one back.
Yeah, no, that's good too. But if they're in some sort of fight.
Yeah.
All of this is very Peppa Pig to me.
Yeah, it is.
Peppa Pig. I've been watching Peppa Pig with a friend of mine. And we were with a third friend, and it was visiting me. We talked about her visit with me last week.
Yeah.
And she goes to me, I think it's awesome that you straight up sober just sit there and watch Peppa Pig. And I'm like, yeah, we love it. But it's like, but then oftentimes, like, I'm like, this is shoddy parenting, mummy and daddy pig.
Yeah.
I'm like, they just like describe the situation, not really how to get out of it. So there might have been something like this where I was like, what are you doing?
Really?
Like, both of you have there with your kids. Let's talk about what happened.
Yeah.
At whatever scandalous thing happened to Peppa Pig. But, you know, to have, if they're in some sort of fight, you know, about the scrunchie or about the whole thing, you broke up, you're stealing my man.
Right.
You stole my scrunchie.
Yeah.
You know, because the whole thing comes from such a place of love. I gave my friend the scrunchie because she felt sad.
Exactly.
That I broke up her relationship. But yeah, getting the two girls together, a moment of conflict resolution for them to learn.
Yep.
And, you know, hopefully get the scrunchie back where it belongs. But I also like Clark's thing of like, but I got these for us. They're our best friend's scrunchies.
Yeah, give her something to make her feel better. Because she clearly needed a scrunchie to feel better. So, yeah. You know, sometimes you need a scrunchie to feel better.
Yeah.
So, there you go. Hopefully that helps. Stacy, Matt, thanks for the recommendation.
Thanks for getting the email all warmed up.
Hey, all you true crime fans, this is Mike Ferguson.
And this is Mike Morf.
And we'd like to invite you to listen to our podcast, Criminology.
Launched in 2017, we've covered a variety of strange cases from murders to missing persons. Some of the cases are ones you may not have heard of.
Other cases we cover are some of the most historic in true crime. There are 200 episodes of Criminology available to binge on right now. And new episodes come out every Saturday night.
Subscribe to Criminology today, wherever you listen to your podcast.
All right, let's move on to our next question. But this is actually an anonymous question because I believe she forgot to mention her name.
Okay.
But it is a phone call, so that's a good thing. Let's go to our anonymous friend who needs some help. Take it away, anonymous.
Hi, having a nostalgic night, living, you know, old memories, and just felt the need to call your hotline because you provided a lot of laughs back in the day. My roommate, who I'm looking for help with to deal, refuses to provide rent, makes messes everywhere, demands that I make all of the meals, leaves fur all over my furniture, basically is a four-legged, lovable oaf who is my incomplete, total, entire world. And I love him dearly. But how in the world do I get him to just cuddle me? I just want cuddles. He's not a snuggly dog, and it makes me sad. He can be when it's cold. I guess I should just turn my AC up. I think I answered my own question. Have a great night. Bye. Oh, also, I've had several beers. I'm very sorry.
Wait. What was, okay, so that was the anonymous. What was that last? I couldn't understand. Did you understand what she said at the end there?
Oh, yeah. She said something like, I'm sorry, I've had a couple beers.
She said, okay. Okay, yes. Sorry, I was trying to write this phonetically.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just like, several weeks, I could not understand what she was saying.
She was like, oh,
I got everything
P.S.
else.
And by the way, I'm shit-faced.
I'm a little drunk. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, that makes more sense. All right, well, so that's anonymous.
Well, I'm glad because if this got out, her community would shun her.
Exactly.
And I love, Clark puts this in, you know, it's not like someone that needs advice.
Well.
But it is, he knew I would love it.
It's a cute question-ish about dogs or cats. I know. Or...
And she's so clever. Oh, my roommate, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And then she gets to like fur on the furniture. And I'm like, okay, lady. I wonder if she's had a couple beers. Just so you know, I've had a couple beers.
Hey, there we go. So, but I feel like the question really is, if you have a dog or a cat or whatever she has, it's four-legged and has fur, and that doesn't like cuddles.
Yeah.
Is there a way to get an animal to be a little extra cuddly when they're not?
Well,
you're more of the animal expert here, so.
I love doggy cuddles.
You do.
But, I mean, not all dogs are cuddly.
Yeah.
And it's not like you can, like, force it.
Well, you certainly will try. I know you. I don't care how aggressive a dog is, you will try to cuddle with that dog.
Yeah. Well, no, I try to pet it and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I know cuddly. Well, does she say it's even?
She does not say it's a dog. It could easily be an iguana wearing a fur coat.
Like, oh, yeah.
She doesn't say her name. She doesn't say what kind of an animal this is.
She just said four-legged, right?
Four-legged and leaves fur all over the furniture.
Well, giraffes aren't cuddly, so just give it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, with an animal, just like people.
Yeah.
Some people are into it. Some people aren't. Yeah. You know, some people like broccoli. Some people hate it. There is the great divide between people that, you know, the great divide that black licorice.
Oh, yeah.
You know, slices down the middle of society.
Sure.
And you're either on one side or the other.
You could have gone easily with Democrat and Republican, but you went for that black licorice divide.
People have much stronger. I think you could have like a QAnon person and a black freedom fighter. And if someone came by with black licorice, they'd be like, God damn, fuck that guy.
and they'd hug
and a high five, yes. No, black licorice seems to be one of those things that just divides the country.
Oh, yeah.
Along with the East Coast, West Coast beef of Twizzlers versus Red Vines.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Wait, which is West Coast? West Coast Twizzlers?
Which ones do you like?
I usually like Twizzlers.
Oh.
But my mom is all about Red Vines.
Red Vines. You're an exception to the rule.
Okay.
But
Twizzlers
generally,
is more East Coast?
Generally, I find that the East Coast people are Twizzlers.
Yeah.
And the West Coast people are Red Vines.
Okay.
So, but just the black licorice, just, I mean, all bets are
off.
Oh,
yeah, 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 yeah.
Anyway, about your dog / cat / giraffe, you know, it's like some people are cuddly. Some animals are cuddly. Some just aren't.
Yeah.
You pick up a cat and you get the stiff arm.
Yeah.
Or dog, you get the stiff arm and the wiggle wiggle.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like you're gonna, I mean, I guess you could roofie it.
But wouldn't you also be able to tell that disposition from minute one of seeing this animal?
You could. Yes, you clearly love your dog, but I say you give him back. Yeah, no, it's the one thing with animals usually is, and with people, God, this extrapolates, forgot to leave your name, all I want to do is cuddle. You're worried about your fucking dog, I can't find a human. I do get to cuddle with dogs a lot, though.
You do, yeah.
But, that's, but I don't want to take it too
Grass
far.
Grass is always greener, yeah, LB.
The grass is always greener that you pee on the other side. But I think the worst thing you can do is like keep after an animal,
yeah,
or a person, you know, like, I want you to love me. Yes. You know, I think the thing to do would be just be cozy with yourself.
Yeah.
No one can be cozy with you until you're cozy with yourself.
But yeah. Let me throw out another word of advice here.
Yes.
Speaking from personal tragedy, you also don't want to go in and get the most loving dog at the shelter either, because then you end up with fucking Flynn.
Oh, Flynn. When you said tragedy, I thought you were going to talk about the ferret that got killed in The Lazy Boy.
Oh, God, no.
That wasn't even Clark's pet.
Yeah,
but
that wasn't my pet.
No, but
I would never do that.
That was a fucking, it was an accident to anybody who's like, you know, from the ferret council and listening. But yeah, no, Flynn is like, I'm so in love with you. I'm so in love with you.
Which at the very first time we met him in that shelter,
yeah,
felt so amazing. Like he instantly ran up to us, was licking our faces,
yep,
was so sweet and was so happy. And then it never stopped.
It
for
never stops.
About 10 years.
Yeah. It's, I'm gonna, he eventually does calm down. But like as soon as you like
years later.
Well, no, I'm saying like when you get to the house and then like after an hour and a half, if you're just sitting there, he'll come sit by your legs.
Yeah. If there's a person that comes to our house that actually stays for a while.
Yeah.
They'll finally see a Flynn that isn't horrible.
Yeah. I feel like I'm really like shitting on our caller. Like, here's all the dogs that snuggle me. You must be
What's
a
wrong
bad
with
person.
You forget, forgot to leave your name.
Yeah, I would say the most you can do is be relaxed. Another thing I do though is actually lay on the floor. I've known, you know, been known to lay on the floor, let the doggy come to me and say like, you know, what are you doing, doggy?
Yeah,
and then give them the scritch, scratch, and crunch their ears and go crunch, crunch, crunch.
Yep, yep, yep.
So I would do that. You did answer your own question with, you know, if he only likes it when it's cold, then, you know, freeze him out.
Yeah.
That's the thing to do.
Exactly.
But I hope you get lovely yummies from your dog or get a second dog.
There you go.
And then that one will be getting all the attention
and
your dog
jealous.
Your dog will get jealous.
Yeah. jealousy works perfectly
and
on dogs.
And then he'll hire Abby to come break you and the new dog up. And be like, I got you this scrunchie for your ears. So sorry, you're sad.
Now give it back.
Give it back. Okay. I think we fixed everything.
I think that solves all your problems. All right. Well, that was really fun, but let's move on.
That's really weird.
That was a little weird. Let's move on to our rotating segment of the week. And it's a good one. It's LB Helps You Waste Your Life.
And now, another rousing segment of LB Helps You Waste Your Life.
That was pretty good, right? That was kind of like the intro.
Yes. I'm very excited about this one because I love wasting my life watching this chickie's videos.
Yay. Before you start, yes. Let me just explain. LB Helps You Waste Your Life is when LB talks to you guys about random, usually YouTube or videos online that she uses to help waste her time.
Yes.
And now you can waste your time with all of these amazing ideas. So, LB, what is our wasting time for this week?
This week's topic that I have wasted much time on, well, topic person, her name is Emmy Made, or okay. That's the name of her brand. Her name is Emmy.
Sure.
EMMYMADE.
Okay.
And she is a cook, chef, mother. She's this cute as a button, you know, Japanese woman. She's maybe 40. She seems younger than me. And she's, I'll say this, she's so stinking cute because that's what she says.
Right.
She makes all these different, like all different stuff. We're going to try this recipe. Yeah. We're going to, she does
not
like,
just healthy stuff. It's just like random stuff.
It's random stuff. What am I saying? Like, she went to Japan and she's like, here's what 7-Eleven Japan is like.
Oh, cool.
She's like, here's this depression era cake that you make.
Wow.
It's like, we're going to make corn dogs out of tofu.
Oh.
Like, all this kind of stuff where it's more like an experiment of her trying things.
Nice.
You know, and it's really cool. And she's so if she's making something little or whatever, she'd be like, it's so stinking cute. So that's why I say she is so stinking cute.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just all kinds of different stuff. She actually has like a kind of nice ASMR voice.
Oh, nice.
So that doesn't hurt.
Mm.
And it's just really fun and everything's pretty simple.
Right.
It's not like she's like, and then you braise the pork and then you, you know, sometimes there'll be a thing where it's like, you know, we have to let this sit for 3 hours.
Right.
And she's like, okay, I'm back. But they're not 3 hour videos.
Right.
But she's just like so lovely and so fun.
Yeah.
And especially like she gets so excited when something's works. She's like, oh my God, it worked. She's like kind of dances around. And then she also is like, just like eats this stuff. She's and she does that like, you know, chefy thing where it's like, you know, she explains as she's chewing it, like, well, this works and this together.
Right.
But then there's time where she's like, ugh.
Oh, she doesn't like
so.
It.
No.
Interesting.
But she's so cute and it's so fun.
Yeah.
And she like has her own chickens. I don't know where she lives, but like has her own like garden stuff and trees and chickens that make eggs. And that, I mean, those would be the kind of chickens to have.
I would hope so.
And I just watch her videos over and over. I've mostly in my Facebook feed is where they come up.
Nice.
And I just love her.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you talked about her a couple of weeks ago to me, and I've been watching a couple of your videos, and they're really fun. They're really cute. She is definitely dry, like you're watching for her more than you're watching really for the food. She's just really fun to watch and to see if she'll make it or, you know, if it'll be good or bad.
Yeah, but also she does stuff like, we're going to try these World War II rations.
Yeah.
So she'll like pop open the, you know, bread in a can, like the shit that's really that old.
Right.
And usually she's like, she takes a bite and she's like, you know, it's like she's willing to try all this shit. She's the one, I don't know if I mentioned this, I mean, months and months ago, she did a eating everything in Disneyland.
Oh, nice.
So she like went the gamut. Yeah. She did, and I'm like, you're not doing the Monte Cristo? Oh. Are you not doing the Monte Cristo? And then the finale was the Monte Cristo.
Nice.
So I was like, okay, she nailed it.
Yeah, she actually, I saw the video the other day of her doing that, the thing that we talked about here on the show, which was the pickle corn dog.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
She did a DIY pickle corn dog with peanut butter sauce.
Yes. And that was pretty awesome. When I went to Disneyland, I didn't see those.
Yeah, I feel like they're in Disney Walk. They're in the shopping center.
Oh, the downtown Disney?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I had a regular corn dog.
Okay.
But
which, did you get it from the red
cart? Of course I did.
Of course.
I think that's the only place they sell them.
Really? I thought you could get them in Tomorrowland.
Perhaps you can.
Maybe. I don't know.
But I'm sure they call it like a corn space dog.
Yes, exactly.
So anyway, yes, she, Emmy made. I love her so much.
And good Lord, when you go to YouTube and type in Emmy made, click on her profile and click on videos, it's just like you've got days worth of entertainment on this one channel.
Oh, and what she does, she's Japanese, so she does do like a fair amount of stuff that are, you know, Asian inspired dishes or ingredients or
stuff.
Like she did one, this has nothing to do with what I just said, but one of the ones that I just remembered was a while ago, like everyone was like, I'm getting my pink pineapple delivered. Oh. There was this like $50 pink pineapple.
Ooh.
And so she's like, let's see what it's about. And she opened it and she's like, it's a pineapple. That's all right.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, it's just kind of pink.
Yeah.
It's not like strawberry flavored or something.
Right.
But back to being, you know, doing a lot of Asian inspired dishes using like more to us, more exotic Asian ingredients.
Yeah.
She says before she tries everything, like she makes it, and when it's time to eat it, she says, itadakimasu, which means like, oh gosh, it's Japanese. I'm going to get reamed for this on the internet. But it means like, you know,
let us eat
something like that.
Yeah.
So she always says that. And there's oftentimes subtitles, and sometimes that subtitle is in like phonetically in English, and sometimes it's in Japanese.
Oh, no.
I'm like, well, that one doesn't help me. But so she says that, and we can hear her say it.
Oh, yeah, you want to hear her say it? We got it right here. Let's pull it up.
All righty, here we go. Itadakimasu.
See, and do you hear her voice?
Yeah.
She's so cute. So she always says that before she takes the first bite of something. And then at the end, she just has this really cute send off. We'll play it for you.
Okay, here it is.
Toodaloo. Take care. Bye.
I'm not even cute enough to say that right. So it's like about her excitement, and even though she's really excited, she has that kind of calm ASMR voice.
Yeah.
And it's just like when she succeeds at something, you're like so excited because she's so excited.
Right.
So I've watched, you know, hours and hours and hours and hours of her, and it's just a good time.
Oh, that's so sweet.
It's just a good time.
I love that.
So I hope you've enjoyed this LB Helps You Waste Your Life, and I'll see you on the next one. Toodaloo. Take care. Bye. I love you, Emmy Maid.
Thank you so much. That was great. That was really fun. Let's move on, though, to we have our final question of the week. And our final question is from a gentleman named Charlie. And Charlie says, hey, LB, I love the show and I need some bad advice. I met my best friend at college, and he and I have been friends for over 20 years. He's still a big part of my life. We talk every week and help each other with our biggest problems. Unfortunately, my biggest problem is that his wife is just a horrible person. Mm-hmm. She's kind of nasty. She never wants to join us when we hang out. And even worse, she makes him feel guilty for even wanting to hang out with me. They've been married almost 8 years now, and I try so hard to be nice to her, but no matter how hard I try, she never warms up. She doesn't just hate me, she hates most of her husband's friends. And we all have grown to hate her too. I love my friend like a brother, but it's getting harder and harder to maintain this relationship with his wife constantly shutting us down. What can I do? That's Charlie.
Ooh, yuck balls.
Yeah.
Charlie, that sucks balls, my yuck balls.
Yeah.
It's, well, you've been friends with this guy for a long time, a lot longer than he's been married to her.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe just a battle to the death? You know, obviously this is rough and complicated because there's probably a lot more to your friend's relationship with his wife and their marriage than you can see, hopefully, unless you just be like, wink if you need help. Just wink if you need help. I'm here for you.
Ooh.
But, you know, that's really rough when you just don't like your friend's significant other. You know, we had a question about this a long time ago.
Did we?
Yes, I remember because it was like some huge douchebag. Yes, and we were like, wait it out.
Mm.
But it was kind of that I think was like a girl that always has a boyfriend.
Oh,
and
right.
This latest one, like, really,
I remember that one. You're
like,
right.
Patchouli based trash pile.
Totally.
So that's not this.
No.
But it's even more difficulter.
Yeah.
Because they're married.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've talked to your friend, which is, you know, interesting because you don't want to be like, so your wife's a bitch.
Yeah. Well, come on. I they must have talked about it.
Well, that's what
a
I'm saying
bit.
Is they must have talked about it or maybe they just haven't.
Yeah.
But if you want to broach it and bring it up, you know, again, we using I statements, you know, we say this all the time. Instead of saying, what you don't want to do is go, dude, your wife's a fucking bitch.
Yeah.
You know, but if you say, I feel really uncomfortable because I feel like I'm doing something wrong being friends with you.
Right.
Because of the way that, you know, Denise acts. I don't know. We'll just call her.
Yeah.
We'll call her Denise.
Denise. That's fine.
And, you know, your friend, I don't know what you've talked to your friend about so far.
Right.
He doesn't say he's like broached the subject.
However, he did say that, she doesn't just hate me. She hates most of her husband's friends. It makes me feel like they've at least talked about how she doesn't like all of his friends.
Because otherwise, how would he have that information?
Exactly.
He watches him from the top of the slide with Abby, the relationship master.
Or else he's stealing his best friend's phone and just like scrolling through going, oh my God, they all hate her.
Oh my God. I mean, that's an issue. I had a friend that I loved, this guy. We had a group of friends and he met this, girl, they're younger than me, but he met this woman and then they were together and then they were married. And then it was like, he just disappeared from our lives.
Yeah.
And we were like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And but I still wasn't like, what's going on here?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and it was like, there wasn't any bad blood. It's not like, but you're just like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
It's like, do you have balls or is there something I'm missing? Were you looking for a way out of this?
Yeah, that's true.
But, you know, I guess if you find a love or the companionship or whatever that you want, that takes precedence over a lot of things.
Yeah.
But if your friend wants to still be your friend and talk and be involved and see each other, then that's something for you to tell him is, you know, I'm really uncomfortable, man. I feel like, you know, we're growing apart. Like, I'm coming up in my head, everything I have is like some huge cliche eye roller.
Right.
I can't share you with another woman.
All of a sudden, it's a Hallmark movie.
Exactly. They're all the same. But it's called The Red Scrunchie. And The Trail of Tears. But, so you could talk to your husband about that. You could talk to your friend about that.
Yeah,
And I keep hitting the microphone. What's wrong with me? Oh, hopefully nobody heard that. And now I've just talked about it for no reason.
No, that's all right.
I have been in this position. Clark has too. Most people have.
Well, there's also, now, tell me this. Is a solution to this talking to the wife? Do you think that Charlie could sit down without the best friend, with just the wife, and be like, what's the deal? Why do you hate me? Did I upset you? Did I offend you?
I would say he could do that with his friend's permission.
Okay.
Definitely, that's not the first call.
Right, right.
Is, why do you fucking hate me, bitch?
I mean,
I've been dating your husband 12 years longer than you.
It's true.
You know, so I would say that if the friend, if Charlie's friend is open to that or whatever,
yeah.
But I would let that be his decision.
Okay.
And, you know, it's part of this is, I mean, we're looking at it from Charlie's point of view.
Sure.
But it's a lot more like when I've been in this position with another friend's boyfriend, it's like, this isn't good for you either, man.
Right.
Like, what are you stopped from doing? Like, why do you have to feel guilty about spending time with me? It's not like we're, you know, 24/7,
right?
You know, playing video games and broing out.
Yeah, exactly.
Doesn't sound like
that. Not at all.
And, you know, then you're made to feel guilty about what the little, you know, hangouts that we do have.
I mean, especially because he starts off saying he's a big part of my life. We talk every week. We help each other with our problems. Like,
that's how you know it's dudes.
Yeah.
Because chicks would be like, we talk twice a day. Dudes are like, I'll talk to you next week, man. Like, yeah, if it comes up, bro. And then they all snuggle their dogs.
Wait, like, I thought they were all going to snuggle together.
Oh, that would be sweet, too.
With their dogs and their dog's scrunchies.
Yes. It's a big mishmash today.
I love how every week we try to combine all the questions into like one story.
It's like a Seinfeld B-plot. Or the Seinfeld, where all the plots on Seinfeld would dovetail just at the end. Yeah,
just at the very end.
But, talk to your friend. Talk about how it makes you feel. You know, if you want to say, I'm worried that it, you know, I just see you, you know, getting, you know, shit on or whatever the actual situation is, we don't know. And
right.
Of course, as I always say, we only know what Charlie is telling
That's
us.
That's true.
You know.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the wife is like, every time they hang out, you dose them with peyote.
Well, here's my other question.
Yes.
Is how much is Charlie's friend to blame?
That's the interesting thing.
Because Charlie's friend must see what's happening.
Exactly.
Be aware more than anyone else.
So that's where the question of what does the rest of their marriage, the whole marriage look like, aside from what his friends are seeing. And that has to do with, you know, is your friend a huge pussy?
Right.
And, you know, are his balls in her purse?
Right.
And is that how he likes it?
Right.
Like, it really is, you know, you don't sound like you're like, it's her or me.
Right, exactly.
Because
exactly.
It's like, I wonder if he'll stay with his wife.
Right.
But you got to just talk to your friend not in a general way, but not starting with your bitch of a cunt of a wife makes me angry.
That's probably a good way to start.
That's not going to go anywhere.
Yeah. That's
like, there
really
is a 1 in 10 million chance that your friend would be like, I fucking know. You want to kill her?
Oh, God. Or he just responds with, thank God somebody said it.
I thought it was just me. No, dude.
No,
she's awful. You know, because you know.
I had a friend working at Universal Studios for a while. Really just the sweetest dude. Big guy. He was really fun, really talkative. And his wife was just the opposite of him in every single way. And it was really bad. And we felt like maybe she didn't like us or she didn't think we were good for him or anything like that. And in the end, it turned out that she was just more of an antisocial person that just didn't like hanging out with a lot of people. So, but she was fine with him like going off with friends as long as she could trust that he wasn't going to do anything, yeah. You know?
Which is so funny because now I realize this has been a super sexist, one-sided answer without saying, you don't really know anything about this woman, Charlie, yeah. Except that she's... Or you haven't stated that you do.
Right, right.
You know, except for that she married your friend and you think she's a bitch.
A bitch, yeah. Exactly.
So it's like, you know, that's another thing to even just talk to your friend about, yeah. And say, it's so funny. I answer these questions. I'm like, wait, I'm being super sexist, which like my vagina should like not allow.
But let's be clear. I mean, we're getting this question from Charlie. So our initial take is going to be from his point of view. But the more we talk about it, I feel like we're pulling a couple of things out of here of like there's different possibilities that could be happening.
Yeah, like, you know, hey, man, I'm uncomfortable. She just seems like really unhappy. Is there something going on with her?
Exactly.
Is there something I can do? It's just kind of stressful.
Because it's like my friend's wife, you know, it turns out she just wanted to be home more often.
Yeah.
And like not around so many people. So once he started doing that, everything started clearing up and she became less bitchy and more, she just doesn't like, you know, lots of big group people, you
then
know,
she
events.
She can see you for 30 really pleasant seconds every 2 weeks.
Exactly.
And you're like, okay, we'll be back.
Exactly. So
that's lovely.
You know, who knows? Maybe the wife need, this is why I said, you know, is there a way to solve this with just Charlie talking to the wife.
Yeah, I don't think.
But yeah, you're right.
No, not directly. Yeah. Because if she is just a bitch, that's going to be fucked up.
Yeah, that might get bad.
That's, you're not friends anymore with him at that point. Like, the dominoes could fall so poorly on that.
Or it turns out that Charlie actually dated her like years ago and he just forgot.
You didn't even remember me. Or she knows that you're the only one that knows that they're actually brother and sister. Just something, I want there to be some explosion at the end. It's right? Like the surprise ending of a Law and Order. Exactly. And Sam Waterston's crazy eyebrows go like way up.
Anytime we can get Sam Waterston invested.
Exactly.
I'm happy. All right. Well, hopefully that helps, Charlie. I'd love for you to write us back and let us know how it goes.
Charlie's wife's friend.
Ooh.
If you're out there,
yes,
I want to hear your side of the story, Bug-a-Bug.
I would love her to write in and get that point of view, too. That would be amazing. But that's about it. We finished our last question for the day. We've wrapped it up. If you guys out there, if you have questions or decisions that are weighing heavily on you, please send them to us and let LB ease your burden. Send us your problems at AskLoriBeth.com. Go follow us on all the socials at AskLoriBeth, or just leave a message with your voice at 1-855-336-2374. That's 1-855-DENBERG or 1-855-DENBERG.
And you can find me at LB Denberg on Instagram, at Lori Beth Denberg on Twitter, and at the Lori Beth Denberg fan page on Facebook.
And I've been looking at the YouTubes, our YouTube channel.
That's right.
People can be replying on there and ask us questions.
Yeah,
so,
we're on the YouTubes, as the young people say.
If you want to go on YouTube and waste your life on us,
nice.
Totally do that. Leave some comments. We can absolutely take your questions from there well.
I've wasted my whole life on me, and it's gotten me nowhere.
All right. Well, that's it for mine. Are you good?
Yeah, I'm good.
All right. Thanks so much. Talk to you next week.
Thank you, kitty cats.
That Advice stars Lori Beth Denberg and Clark Crozier. The show is produced by me, Jeremy Balin, and part of the Seltzer Kings Network. Our theme song is written and performed by Natty Ward. If you or someone you love is in need of some bad advice, you can submit your own question on our socials, all of which are Ask Lori Beth, or on our website at AskLoriBeth.com, or for a nostalgic twist, you can call 1-855-DENBERG. That's right, 1-855-336-2374, and leave your question there. Thanks for listening.